Before Dylan comes up to preach, we're going to hear from God in his word. Today, we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. And as Ray previously mentioned, just before this passage, which we looked at last week, we heard about the angel Gabriel's visit to Mary to tell her that she would become pregnant and give birth to Jesus. Now, from verse 39, we'll hear about what happened next. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believes that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Let me pray before we start to look at God's word. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We pray, please minister to us, and we hold on to the promise that you gave that your Spirit will lead us into truth, and your Spirit will free us, and your Spirit will encourage us and equip us. So, Father, we pray this morning, encourage us, free us, and equip us as we listen to your word being explained. I commit myself as well. Use me, Father, for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I like the words of that new Christmas carol, which had, there was one line or the chorus. It says, "We tell the world that we have a Savior." And the last term at Kids Club, we had this wonderful privilege of actually sharing who Jesus is with our kids. There's about 9 to 10 regular kids who come. And at the end of this term, we had our Christmas party on Friday. One of the things that we did was we had our final lesson on the resurrection. Daniel did that lesson. And at the end, we got the kids to give them a piece of A4 sheets. And we said, all right, think about what you remember of this term when you hear the word Jesus, or the name Jesus. Now, I've got some of these sheets, and we told them to draw or write something. I'll show you some. Try to guess what they've written. Can you see this one? It's similar. There's a boat, and there's Jesus up here. He's shouting. What is he shouting? "I'm too strong. Stop. And then there's a shark like saying, "Oh no!" And there's a similar one, Jesus calming the storm. And there's another one. It says, I learned that Jesus died on a cross. Jesus helps us. Another one. I like this one. When I hear the name of Jesus, I think of a great man who loves everyone, a man who forgives sins, and a man that puts everybody before him. We love Jesus. And on a cross, this is where Jesus died, and this is where he was risen. So she didn't get the last point. He was risen in a tomb. This one, I learned that Jesus loves us, and he has the power to forgive sins and heal people. There's a lucky last one. Jesus will come back and take us with him. Jesus will help us to become better people. Wonder what this is. These are what these kids have learned this term. And it's wonderful to see God sowing seeds, or using us to sow seeds in these kids' lives, and using us to proclaim God's salvation to these kids. And we look forward to see fruit that God brings. Today, the passage that we read from Luke encourages us to continue to declare God's praises. If you were here last week, you'll remember 2 weeks ago we looked at the first few verses of Luke chapter 1, a big announcement. A king is going to come, the Messiah, and he's going to come and save the people of the world. And God is sending a forerunner, a John, and he has performed a wonderful miracle by allowing a barren woman who is gone, who is old, to fall pregnant. The last week we heard even a bigger news, broken with even a bigger, or in fact the greatest miracle ever being announced. God himself is coming down to be born as a baby in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And it's wonderful to hear from Derek the medical side of it, how God has wonderfully done it. There's no human involvement. God, with his awesome power, his wisdom, his grace, is bringing forth the Messiah of the world. And we saw how Mary responds to this wonderful witness of God's power and wisdom. She responds with humility, obedience, making God her king. And we concluded that this should be our response to God as our king. And today we come to verses 39 to 56. The two pregnant women, they meet. Elizabeth is 6 months into her pregnancy with John, and Mary is just conceived, Jesus. And when they meet, they're both filled with this inexpressible joy. And they pour out their hearts in song. And I think here we find the first two songs in this book. The first song with Elizabeth, commentators think this was originally a song, verse 39 to 45. And the second song, Mary's song, verses 45 to 56. They're both singing to each other, aren't they? They're talking to each other and encouraging each other in song. They reveal their joy, their amazement, their gratitude for God. They reveal what God has done for them, his mighty deeds. And they reveal their personal trust in God. Reading these words today, we hear them singing to us, right? They are talking to us. And if you listen closely, they're encouraging us to do the same. To sing, to tell forth God's wonderful deeds. Let's look at the first song, verses 39 to 45. After the angel Gabriel finished a good mission of informing Mary about the birth of Jesus, he's gone. Verse 39, we are told that Mary also got ready, and she hurrying off to the countryside of Judea, probably about 2-3 days journey. And she's going to see her relative Elizabeth. And when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, as she greeted Elizabeth, I don't know what happened. They would have hugged each other and said hello or something similar. But something happened to Elizabeth. The baby in her womb leaped for joy. We don't know how Elizabeth felt or what the baby did. Maybe gave a kick or a knock or a headbutt. Mothers would know how kids move or babies move in the stomach, in the womb. But whatever it is, there was some unusual activity when Mary arrived. The baby in the womb of Elizabeth knew who was in Mary's womb. And he was excited. John, who will be born in another 3 months after this encounter, he's the one who is going to be the forerunner before Jesus, who's going to point people to Jesus. And Luke tells us that here in the womb itself, he has begun to point people to Jesus. And the words of Elizabeth, verse 42 to 45, we've got a poem, a song. And before he gives us this song, Luke gives us a major piece of information at the end of verse 41. He says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is important. Why? Because whatever Elizabeth is singing, whatever she is feeling, whatever she understands, Luke wants us to remember that she didn't make it up. She was guided, she was prompted, she was helped by the Holy Spirit of God. The first thing she recognizes is that the blessing that Mary has received. He says, blessed are you among women. Elizabeth is careful not to say, Mary, you are a blessing to the world. Rather, she says, she is blessed by God. Earlier in the last week passage, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and twice he pointed out to Mary that she is highly favored by God. Verse 28 and 30, chapter 1. She's like one of us. Sinful, unworthy, unclean, but she has received God's amazing grace. A favor that she did not work for, a favor that she did not earn. That's what Elizabeth reminds us again today. That Mary is the recipient of God's grace. She's not the bestower of God's grace. And the second thing Mary recognizes is that the special nature of the baby in Mary's womb. Elizabeth recognizes that. Elizabeth has met the mother of Jesus and she's feeling uneasy, a bit confused, surprised, amazed perhaps. Verse 43, she asks, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord come to me? Did you note that? Elizabeth recognizes by the Holy Spirit that the baby in Mary's womb is her Lord. He's not a normal baby, he's the Messiah, the Son of God. From the beginning, Luke, who's writing this letter, he's writing to a guy called Theophilus, and he's writing to him and us to tell us that we cannot know Jesus unless the Holy Spirit reveals him to us. We will know of him, but the personal knowledge, the saving knowledge of him is given through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And when that happens to Elizabeth, suddenly when she knows who the baby is, Elizabeth feels that she's unworthy to stand before Jesus. She's amazed that God would come to her, unworthy, simple, sinful person. Elizabeth knows God has granted her a huge favor in bringing Jesus, her Lord, to her. in Mary. If you look at it, this is what God has done in the bigger scale, isn't it? God has sent Jesus into a mess, a world of sin, unholiness, darkness, a world full of ungratefulness, to a group of unworthy sinners. And we ought to feel unworthy before God, God's holiness. It's like later when Jesus called Simon Peter to become a disciple, he witnessed this great miracle, didn't he? In the middle of the sea, a great catch of fish when he did what Jesus told him to do. And he realized that the person who is standing before him, Jesus, is not just a normal, ordinary person. He is God. And what does he ask Jesus to do? Jesus, go away. I'm unworthy. I'm sinful. I'm unclean. He finds himself unworthy to stand before Jesus. But what does Jesus do to Peter? He calls them. He calls him. And he makes them disciples or friends and sends them off to be fishers of men. It's again was wonderful to hear from Derek the difficulties that he has in the medical field when he says the name Jesus or name Christ. People feel there's something special. The unworthiness, God kind of reveals their sinfulness to stand before the name of Jesus. I mean, Luke reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our unworthiness, who convicts us of our sin. Finally, in this song, Elizabeth in verse 45, she does a wonderful thing, right? She's encouraging Mary. Most of the time, we don't see this point because we quickly read on this point, right? Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth knows how hard it is going to be for Mary. People are going to look down on her. People are going to ridicule her in the days to come. She's going to have a hard time explaining, "How did I become pregnant?" But Mary has taken a step of faith, hasn't she? She has believed in God's promises. And she has begun a journey of faith by obeying God. Elizabeth comes along and she recognizes the boldness of Mary's faith. The massive step of faith that she has taken. And she says, "Mary, good on you. Keep going. Keep trusting in God. You are doing the right thing. May God bless you and keep you." Just looking at these verses, I'm wondering how much we need this attitude of encouragement today in our churches, in our faith communities. We need to encourage those who have believed in Jesus to say, "Great. Keep going. Keep growing in your faith. Keep reading the Bible. Keep meeting together." And there are others among us who have specific faith journeys, don't we? Who has trusted God to do certain things. Perhaps for a healing. Perhaps to start a family. Perhaps to find a wife or a husband. Perhaps to find a job change. Perhaps healing of a relationship. Perhaps a missionary who is going overseas to serve in a difficult place. Trusting in God to provide their need, to protect. I think Elizabeth leads the way to show us that we need to get behind people who have taken a step of faith, to encourage them, to pray for them, to pray with them, to encourage them. Then we come to the second song, the obvious song in this passage, Mary's song, verses 46 to 45. Mary begins a song with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in my God." She's praising God and at the same time she's enjoying God. Why? Verse 48 to 49, she praises God for what he has done for her. Verse 48, she recognizes that God has been mindful or remembered her humble status. The God of the universe, who sits in heaven, has shown concern to this lowly woman, servant. She did not deserve to be noticed, but God did. Verse 48, from now on, generations will call me blessed, she says. This is a verse some churches, church circles use to justify worshipping Mary, saying that she's holy or she's extra special. But as we said earlier, Mary's just the recipient of God's amazing grace. She didn't earn it. She didn't work for it. She's just like us. In verse 48, when Mary says, people will call me blessed, she's not asking all the generations to come to her and worship her as one of the holiest creatures. Rather, Mary wants all generations to recognize God's grace to her in making her a servant of God's big salvation plan. Rather, worshipping Mary, the Bible presents her as a great model of humbleness and obedience, a model of how we should receive God's mercy. And I think this is something that we need to keep in mind as we live in this community, in the world. We should be quick to see God's grace in people's lives rather than seeing people and their goodness and their skills, their holiness, and their power, their wealth. We should guard against venerating people and make the proper attribute of praise to God for his grace on his people. Verse 49, Mary remembers the mighty things that the Mighty One has done for her. In a bigger sense, she may be sensing that her salvation depends on this child. The Messiah is coming. Mary rejoices in the salvation. But I think at this point in time, Mary is praising God for the most amazing miracle the Lord has done, namely the miracle of incarnation. God has exerted all his power on coming down to his creation. He has somehow packed himself fully man, fully God, and he's going to be born of a Virgin Mary. And this is amazing. This is huge. No, this is humongous, isn't it? God has done great things for me, Mary says. But she doesn't stop there. Verse 50. Now the same mercy is extended to those who fear him from generation to generation. The same power is now available for everyone and anyone from any generation who trusts in God. Luke is probably hinting at Theophilus, who's reading this, the first reader. He was not a Jew, but a God-fearing Gentile, and he worshipped the God of the Jews. And he's an outsider, and he's saying, Theophilus, you too can find God's grace. You can be an insider. Verse 51 to 55, Mary remembers God's powerful acts, his mighty deeds in the past, to save those who are humble, to bring down those who are proud. It says he scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Probably Mary would have been a devout Jew who read God's word. So she remembers probably God scattering the Egyptian armies in the Red Sea when God brought people from Egypt. Or perhaps how God defeated the nations in the times of Joshua and Judges. Verse 52, she remembers that God has brought down rulers from their thrones. Maybe she is remembering how God humbled the Egyptian king Pharaoh. Or perhaps how King Saul, who was proud, God humbled him. Or perhaps King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, how he was humbled. But he lifted up the humble. King Nebuchadnezzar was proud, but he was humbled. But God lifted up the humble. Moses, David, Joseph. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. Again, she may be referring to the time of Exodus when the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, when God allowed the Egyptians to give all their riches, all their gold and silver to the people of Israel. Or perhaps how God provided them in the wilderness. Whatever she's referring to, Mary recognizes that the same power of God, the same powerful God, has come down to rescue Israel. He has come down to rescue Israel, to be their help in verses 54 to 55. He has not abandoned them. He has not forgotten them. He has sent the Messiah at the right time. But Mary sees beyond that, doesn't she? Beyond Israel. God has poured out his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever. If you remember Genesis chapter 12, God made this huge promise that he would bless the nations through Abraham's seed. Mary recognizes that Jesus is Abraham's seed. Jesus is God's blessing to the nations. Now in Jesus, God has opened the door to not only the Israelites, but to the whole world. Anyone who fears God, anyone who believes in Jesus, to be part of God's kingdom. Jesus is God's mercy for both Jew and the Gentile. Mary sings to Elizabeth, and to us, to remind us that God who has done mighty things to lift her up, he is the same God who has done mighty things, mighty deeds in the past to lift people up. He is the same God who will do mighty things to save people in the future. And we who have read the Bible, we know that she is referring to the amazing salvation Jesus would bring through his death and the resurrection. In this song, Mary encourages us to praise God for his salvation, each one of us. Marvel at the salvation that God has granted us. No one will be able to be the mother of Jesus again, but we all have the privilege of being a child of God through Jesus, by believing in him. She encourages us not to take lightly what God has done to make us his child. Our salvation, it is the mighty one of mighty one. God himself has done mighty things for us to save us. From the dominion of darkness into light, from sin to life. Peter reminds us in his letter, once we were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received God's mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mary also encourages us to draw from the past. Draw from the past and to have hope that the same God who saved us, the same God who performed mighty deeds will perform mighty deeds to save those around us. The people that we are praying for, the people that we are sharing the gospel with, that God will save them. So then we have two songs. The theme of both the songs are God's redemption. Praising God, exalting the Redeemer. They both sing out, tell out the wonders of God, telling out the mighty deeds of God. And they encourage us to trust in Jesus and His salvation. Trust in Jesus for the salvation of others. And they encourage us to sing. They encourage us to join them in declaring the praises of God to one another, to the nations, to the friends and families, to the world who's listening. May not be songs sung in beautiful tunes, none of us have good voices, but they're encouraging us to do is tell what's in our hearts. Tell about God's mercy in saving you and me. Tell our story of God's salvation. Share God's love so that people know and would believe. So that we would continue to share Jesus at our kids' clubs, at our playgroups, at Christmas in the park or at Easter in the park. Because Paul tells us in Romans, in chapter 10, he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed? How can they believe in the one they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching or proclaiming? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Well, we may not see the fruit immediately, but we can trust that God's mighty deeds will bring fruit. Let me end with this story, a true story. Earlier this week, James, myself, Daniel, and Faustine, and Rochelle, and John, we had a meal together on Monday. And we shared about what happened during the year, and we reflected on God's mercy, the ministries that we have, and we prayed for one another. And we prayed, one of the prayers that we prayed was, God, please show us. We've got all these seed-sowing ministries. God, please show us some sign of growth. Please give us a shoot to be encouraged. Well, on Friday, I had this wonderful opportunity to talk to a guy who had come to Kids Club 5 years ago. And he shared with me what God has done in him. He said, Dylan, I've become a Christian. He has been to Kids Club. He's heard stories of Jesus. He's now in high school. And he's been to high school scripture classes the whole year, lunchtime groups, the Bible studies. And he said, I've become a Christian. He said, I've heard the stories of Jesus for the first time in Kids Club. He got given a Bible and he read from cover to cover. And he said, I believe that Jesus died for me, for my sins. And he said, my mother, my father, my brother, they're not Christians yet. You need to pray for my family. What a joy. What a joy when we see God bringing people into His kingdom. What a joy to see God's mighty deeds in bringing people into His kingdom. Let me encourage you, don't stop praising God. Don't stop declaring God's wonderful deeds with your family and friends. God said His word will never return without fruit. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the awesome privilege of singing praises of You to the nations, to the whole universe. Father, we thank You for the grace in using us, unworthy, sinful creatures, to declare praises. Father, we pray, help us, give us words, help us to cherish the mighty things that You have done in our lives. That, Father, when we cherish them in our hearts, may it overflow in song, in words, in our actions. But Father, we will see you bringing your wonderful, faithful gospel into people's lives. And Father, that the promise that you made to Abraham will come true. We know it will come true because you are a mighty God. So Father, encourage us to tell out our souls to the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.